time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, yes, we're here again, and the time is 2:17 and a half. And I've got some more questions and a chance for you to get registered for the drawing of two tickets to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. Now, we'll be doing that, I think, around the 10th of this month. So you'll be listening for that. Now, tomorrow, something special here begins, and that's the show with Weasel Boy, as his nickname is. That's Chad Harrison, who's actually from Marion originally. He's had quite a career in radio already, but he'll be coming back to radio tomorrow morning at 7:15 until 10 o'clock. They'll have guests, great prizes, lots of entertainment, and you can listen live, too, at wwgh1071.com or by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. So the premiere broadcast is tomorrow morning at 7:15. Now, that's something to look forward to. Okay, on Monday, May the 6th, Ain't We Got Fun at River Valley High School Auditorium. And what else is happening here? Let me get all my information in front of me. The Marion County Park District, let's see, today being the 4th, a wildflower program is going on right now from 1 to 3 at the Paradise Nature Center. That's on the dead end of the Marion Williamsport Road, east off of 746. Now, James Anderson will be conducting that, and that should be highly educational. Now, let's see, what else do we have here? That's right, the levee for River Valley, along with others, will be coming up here on Tuesday. Wow, already. Man. So, and let me see. What else do I have? Trinity Baptist Church, its Sunday sermon is on WWGH. Sunday and Wednesday night, 6:10 to 7. Debuting Wednesday, which it already has, will be a new talk show, Offbeat News and Trivia, with Nate Redmond. And our new hours for prize pickups will be, had already started, Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., and on Fridays, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Okay, now that's out of the way. I'll tell you once again, if you can answer my questions today, I'll write your name down and throw you in a little bucket I have here, and we're going to draw out one name, I think around on the 10th of the month, and that person will get two free tickets to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. And that's quite a valuable gift. So that's coming up. And right now, my first question in this hour will be, in Indiana, they grow a lot of good things, of course, vegetables and so forth. But every year, there's something grown in Indiana that people kind of relish. They think the Indiana is the best of this particular vegetable. And so what is it? What is it they like about Indiana that's growing? And they look for it in the stores here. What would it be? 7403839944. What does Indiana grow that a lot of people here love to eat? Okay. 2:21 is the time, and it's Saturday afternoon, and it looks like the rain should be pretty much over by now. It looks like it's going to clear off here, even for Marion and Clarendon in that area east of us. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Cantaloupes or mushmelons from Indiana?
Yeah, well, that's good enough. Yeah, it's watermelons.
Watermelons?
Yes, Indiana watermelons.
We always see the Indiana mushmelons or the Indiana cantaloupe.
Yeah, okay, let me write your name down here and put you in for the drawing.
Okay, it's Linda Adkins.
Okay, and are you the one that, let's see, went to see the show?
No,
that was another Adkins that went down to see Mamma Mia.
No, it wasn't me.
Okay. All right. Well, I got your name down. Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Charlie.
Okay. Bye. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Okay. Go tap on the door and go in. Scott will give you your prize. Yeah. Okay. Indiana watermelons. Yes, that's what I was looking for. Indiana melons. Now, why is it that Indiana melons are better tasting than Ohio melons? Now, I have no idea. Do you? But it's one of the, you go to a store, and there'll be a sign hanging there, Indiana watermelons, or Indiana melons, whatever. Now, what is it, why is it so good, or what is it so good about an Indiana melon that would be better than Ohio melons? I have no idea, and if you do, let me know. Okay, now, speaking of things like that, Marion once was kind of like Delaware. They had a vegetable, bananas and all kinds of tropical fruits and different things. There was a company up on North State Street, long gone. I don't think anyone listening now would have been alive when this company was in full swing. And I'm going to ask this just because the building had the name, the original family name on it. I don't know if it's still there or not. It might have been torn down. But what would that building be up on North State Street that once was a big vegetable dealer, produce, in other words, a produce dealer? What was the family name up on North State Street? And the building might be gone. But here's somebody I bet that knows. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, would that be Bruno's, Charlie? Yeah,
it was Bruno's, yes. Well, I don't think any of us was alive when Bruno was operating, were we? But the name was there. Okay, uh-huh. Okay. Now, what is your name? I should know.
Becky Thacker.
Okay, Becky. All right. One of your relatives went down to see Mamma Mia.
No, not ours.
Okay. Very good.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. Okay. I was glad to see, though, that one of the tickets we gave away to Mamma Mia, they really enjoyed the show. Okay. All right. So Bruno, that's the family name. Bruno. Now, most vegetable or produce people are Italians. Now, I don't know, does it go back to the original, the home country? But most of the vegetable or produce people in America are Italian, original Italian families, like Bruno. Now, Bruno might, I don't know, but Bruno was in Delaware, too. At least a Bruno family, and because I knew them. And I don't know if they're still, if they still have a produce place in Delaware or not. Bruno, Bruno. Okay. Now we go to another area. This is nothing to eat. There used to be, quite a few dry cleaners and laundry places in Marion. I need you to name me two of them that are no longer there, but once were big time. I can remember at the radio station where I worked, we used to get bundles of cleaning rags from this one cleaner. Now, can you name two of them? All right, 7403839944. Name two dry cleaning or laundries that are no longer in Marion. Now, how many do we have now? We have the one from Upper Sandusky that's based up there. And then we have the one that he passed away too, all on east side of Marion. Is that still open? Okay, 2:27 is the time, and you're listening to WWGH in Marion, Ohio. And don't forget, tomorrow morning at 7:15, something new for this radio station, new for Marion, too, will be an interesting radio program featuring the Weasel. Okay, that's coming up tomorrow morning. You'll tune in at 7:15. You'll know what I'm talking about. Right now, our time is 2:27. Can you name two? Okay, this might be the answer. Okay, caller, go ahead.
How about Alco and Peerless?
Okay, yeah. Peerless. Okay, there was one bigger than Peerless. Can you remember? It started with the letter A. And it's not.
Alco?
No.
And Peerless is the only two I can think of.
Okay.
Offhand.
How about Anthony's?
Yeah.
Anthony Laundry, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me put your name down here.
Ed Atkins.
Ed, okay. Now, did your family see the show?
No.
Okay. One of the Atkins did. I got a note on the internet from him. Okay. Very
no,
good.
No, it wasn't us.
Okay, Ed. Good luck.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be giving away those two tickets in another week or so to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. Okay, Anthony's Laundromat. Or Anthony's Laundry, remember that? Anthony is probably one of the biggest. Peerless was gangbusters, too. I mean, the Peerless Boys did, good business there for a long time, and now it's empty. Anthony's no longer there, of course. Who else did we have in Marion for laundries? Alco over there on, what's the name of that street on the east end? Are there any other? Well, yes, the one from Upper Sandusky, and its name escapes me at the moment. It shouldn't, because they're the biggest anywhere around. And they supply new rugs or runners, for businesses, and they do a laundry, dry cleaning, whatever. Big time, out of Upper Sandusky. They have a place in Marion, I know, down on, Columbia? A pickup place there, 229's the time. And you're listening to WWGH. We're going to pause here shortly and be back for another 25 minutes or so. And I've got, let me see, candy, soaps, and slogans. Candy, soaps, and slogans coming up in the next half hour. So stay tuned. Okay, and if you have anything you'd like to promote, just give me a call. If there's anything you're involved with over the weekend, it's free. All you can do is to give me a buzz. Right now, the time is 2:30. Scott, we hear so much about Bernie Sanders being a socialist, but actually, one of the first big socialists to run for president came from right here in Marion, Ohio.
Oh, yes, Norman Thomas.
Yes, and did you know Norman Thomas also sold ice cream?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, he was the first ice cream socialist.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Listen for guests like legendary comedian Shecky Green.
Well, Ed Sullivan had his 11th anniversary, and I happened to be on the show. And he says to me, Shecky, you're not going to mess up on his show, are you? I said, no, Ed, I promise I won't, So I said to him, you introduce me. No, he says, what are you going to do? I said, well, you're on 11 years. Introduce me as, because I just got back from Europe, he and his wife, Sylvia. I introduced me as a German comic that you found in Germany that you brought back to the United States. He said, my God, that's a good idea. And then he said, tonight on our show, ladies and gentlemen, I was in Heidelberg with my wife. No, she was in Amsterdam. I was in Heidelberg. How come we didn't get to... Ladies and gentlemen, I found this little German comic, and I think you're going to enjoy him. Here is Schickel Krieber, so I came out. I said, "Ready, I want to tell you something, Mr. Sullivan. It has been on television 11 years. This is his anniversary, and there's a reason why he's been on 11 years. He don't sing, he don't dance, he don't tell jokes, he don't do anything. That's why he's been on." Well, he got crazy. He heard that.
Oh.
After the show, he chased me. He said, "You know, I got more talent in my little finger than anybody I ever had on this show. As you really believe that you old as you're nuts, you know?"
And legendary talk show host Dick Cavett.
I don't know. I can give you an exclusive here, I think.
Oh, let's do.
Sitting there with Alfred Hitchcock during a commercial break, he's sort of looking straight ahead, not really right at me. And then he suddenly begins sort of speaking aloud to no one and says, are you ready?
I'm ready.
"Grace Kelly, the most promiscuous woman I've ever known."
Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 1210 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Okay, we have about 26 minutes to go in this program today, and we have a lot of tickets to put your name on to throw you in the bucket here for a drawing. Coming up are two tickets to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. Now, that's quite a place. And if you are, well, if you're younger than me, you'll really enjoy it. Maybe even if you're as old as I am, you'll remember a lot of the artists that have artifacts and so forth in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. These tickets are worth some money, that's for sure. And you get a pair of them if you're drawn out as the winner on the 10th, I think, of the month. Okay, so, and you can enter more than once. Now my next question is, and I only have four questions left, for 26 minutes. Okay. There was a shampoo for your hair. It might still be out there. Since I don't buy hair shampoo, I would know. But I remember it. And it started with the letter P. Okay, tell me. What's the name of the shampoo for your hair? Yeah, I remember... I had an earlier one called Halo. Halo, everybody, halo. But this starts with the letter P. Oh, here's somebody that knows. Okay, caller, go ahead. Hello? Are you there? Well, oh, wait. Okay, caller, I didn't have the right button pushed.
Oh, Is it Prel shampoo?
Yes, it's Prel. Right.
Yeah. I think it's still out there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you're still out there, too. Let me write your name down here.
Yeah, I thought you could only call once a day. I mean,
well,
one time.
No, more than once, yeah. Is this Sharon?
No, it's Judy.
Judy, okay.
Yeah, Summers.
Judy Summers, yes, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Judy, good luck.
Oh, I need it.
Okay. All right. Bye. Okay. Prel shampoo. Yes. Still out there. All right. Halo. I keep thinking of Halo. Yeah. Prel shampoo. I can't remember any song that went with it. There might have been. Let me cross it off my list here. Okay. Oh, now here's a good one. This involves candy. Now, this candy has something to do with an insect. Now, can you imagine candy that is related to an insect? Title-wise, at least. Candy related to an insect. Oh, and it's good. Oh, boy. It comes in kind of flat pieces. Yes. And it has I think, was it a yellow wrapper? What's the name of that candy that has to do with an insect. Okay, 2:36 and a half right now. And what else is happening? It looks like the sun is partially shining. Boy, the ground is saturated. The ground, you can tell, is just full of moisture because we have it oozing out of several places around here. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Is the candy Bitto Honey?
Well, yes, it is Bitto Honey. My, yeah, hey, you're good. Right. You're right on the beam there. Okay. All right. Yeah. Can I write your name down here?
Yeah, Judy.
Judy again.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Judy. You're right on the ball. Okay.
Well, for once.
Okay, thank you.
Goodbye. Okay.
All right. All right, let me see here. Okay. Boy, I've got to slow down here. Now, I've got, okay, there are some cities in this country that will be noted for something or other. Now, Columbus used to be called a cow town, jokingly. It's not anymore, because they thought Columbus was small and was not up to date. This was years ago, called a cow town, relating it to out in the country, you know. Not anymore. My goodness. Okay. Now, there in Chicago, there is a city with a title. And in the eastern part of the United States, there are some other cities that have a slogan. Now, I want you to tell me the names of two cities, two of them, that have slogans. All right. Now, Marion is a popcorn, it used to be the popcorn capital of the world. I don't think you could quite call it that now, although Manel Milling handles popcorn sales, and they took over ConAgra's installation up there in Wyandotte County. And so I'm sure they're prominent. I need to find out more about Manel Milling's popcorn business. I'm sure, of course, it would all be wholesale. And do they ship it all around the world like Wyandotte used to? I'd like to know. And ConAgra? Now, Manel Milling does not make microwave popcorn. You know, they had a problem with microwave popcorn, and the people that worked in the plant that claimed they got infected in their lungs by some of the powder that was put in to flavor the microwave popcorn. But now Manel Milling, of course, owns that that ConAgra had. You know, ConAgra used to ship their popcorn from up north in Wyandotte County down here to Marion to be packaged into microwave sizes. But that doesn't take place. So where does Manel Milling market their popcorn? Does it go all over? Does it have a brand name? Or do they sell it to people who have their own brands to put on it? You know, that's a big thing today. You see a lot of things, even a lot of things that are labeled Amish that are really relabeled products. Maybe they're made, some might be made in Amish areas, but a lot of it is relabeled as an Amish product, because most people think everything Amish is better than, you know, anything else. And so there's a lot of relabeling. And I've told listeners several times that when I was in the retail business, I've done everything in my life, of course. I was contacted by Smucker's. And Smucker's could label jams and jellies for my business, or give it my business name, if I bought so many dozens and dozens of cases, because they had to make it worthwhile, you know, to be able to print my label on their jams and jellies. And so a lot of that goes on. You don't know what you buy today may have originated someplace else, but a new label is put on it. But it's perfectly all right. But a lot of times, you kind of, they want you to get the idea that maybe it is something special. And a lot of cheese is relabeled. I know Guggenheim, cheese factory, they make specialized, what is it, the small loaf of Swiss cheese. It's baby Swiss that is so good. But they sell other cheese in their factory labeled Guggensburg, but they buy it from another cheese factory and relabel it. There is a big cheese factory on Route 39 this side of Millersburg. Boy, it's huge. But the thing to remember, too, if you're looking for cheese, a lot of it or a little, you can go in there and buy it. They have a retail counter. And I don't know if there's much in the way of a name outside this building, except it's before you get into Millersburg, and it's on Route 39 on the south side of the highway. And they have a lot of different buildings because they manufacture cheese there that is labeled by many others. Believe me. Oh, my goodness. They are huge. And I can only imagine the amount of dairy product that they, or, you know, how much dairy they buy. Wow. It's big. Guggensburg, over in Charm, Ohio, won the national title, though, for the best Swiss cheese going. Yes. 2:43 is the time. Now, going back to my original thing, I need you to name at least two cities in the United States with titles. Can you think of at least two? Well, you can name three if you want. There are some, you know, cities in America noted for a particular thing. Can you tell me two of those cities and what their title is? Oh, okay. I got you scratching your head now thinking. Yeah, there's more than two. There's many, many cities. I was trying to think. I was up once in Portland, Oregon, and it's a town noted for its roses. And, there's towns all over America noted for something. And a lot of times it's known more by their title than the actual wording in the city. Okay, so there are two really big ones in the United States. Can you name them? Two cities that are noted. Oh, here we go. All right, just a second. Okay, caller, go ahead.
I don't think these are the big ones, but Massachusetts is known as the Bean Town, Boston.
Yeah, Boston is Bean Town. Yeah.
And New York's the Big Apple. Is that kind of like what you're meaning?
Yeah, New York is one of them I was looking for, and there's another big one, too. I got a break here. If you want to call back after that and give me some others.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. What is Marion noted as? Shovel City? Yes, once we were called Shovel City, because we made the big shovels here that are, you know, shipped all over the world, really, at one time. A lot of them had to be, the shovel had to send erection.
Have you heard my interviews with Phyllis Diller here on WWGH?
Have I heard it? I could recite it word for word.
Well, Charlie, you must have a great memory.
Well, not really, but after 6,432 airings, it just becomes a part of your life. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon comes out, and you hear Phyllis Diller's interview and cackle on WWGH.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
This is Marianne Michaels, and you can catch my friend Scott Spears Monday through Friday right here on WWGH 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Entertaining interviews with celebrities and local topics every day.
Live 12:10 to 2 p.m.
Okay, we're back once again. And again, I'm looking for a couple of cities that have titles that a lot of people recognize, maybe over their real name. Now, and these are big cities. Okay, here we go. All right, caller, go ahead.
Well, the only one I can think of is Detroit Motor City.
Yeah, that's one of them. Detroit's Motor City. Yeah, that's one. Can you name another?
Well, the only one I could think was New York, the Big Apple.
Okay, the Big Apple. Okay.
Well, and Nashville, Country Music. I don't know if that's kind of like a title
well,
or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, yeah. Country Music City. Yes.
Yeah, Country Music City.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right, good. What's your name?
Judy.
Okay.
It's me again.
Okay. All right, Judy. Well, you're right on the ball today. Okay.
Well, kind of.
Yeah, all right. Okay, Judy, thanks.
Okay.
Okay, bye. Okay. Now, how many of you listen to the Grand Ole Opry? Yeah, I try, you know. The Grand Ole Opry is a little bit different than, perhaps, than regular modern country music. The Grand Ole Opry, to me, seems like it's more of the more basic country music. Although they have, you know, a lot of the major artists in country music. But, to me, the Grand Ole Opry is a little bit different than, like the Country Music Awards program, where some of that gets into almost semi-rock and roll, really, and anything but country. And some of those artists put on a country accent, even. But, Nashville, Country Music City, how many, of course, Philadelphia, Brotherly Love, the Big Apple, New York City, Chicago, the Windy City, and Detroit, the Motor City. Yes, and, here's another caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to tell you, Windy City was Chicago.
Yes.
And San Francisco by the Bay, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, I'll get off here.
Very good, okay, thanks. Yeah. Now, Marion, Ohio, I've talked about this over the years. Marion, Ohio has a big connection with the big building in Chicago. The tallest building in Chicago has to do with Marion. Yeah, Marion has been prominent in various manufacturing ways and product ways, like snack foods. Marion is probably one of the biggest snack food producers in the United States. But now, because of competition among industries, not much is said about things like that. They don't like to name their products they produce right here in Marion. And the same way in Martell, the Minnell Milling Company produces products or the basic ingredients for products that you love to eat. But they, kind of short on telling you just what that product would be. And I wish they could, because it would amplify the importance of these industries, of Wyandotte Incorporated, Minnell Milling. Minnell is a family-owned company out of Martell, but they have installations all over the country. I don't know how many altogether. Minnell is big and still owned by a family, but they produce probably more flour-related things. Oh, my goodness. And some of the things you eat in restaurants around start out in Martell, Ohio, with Minnell Milling. That's right. And they work 7 days a week up there. That's right, 7 days a week, because their product is so much in demand. I can remember many years ago, I was invited to tour when it was Pillsbury. And they were, at that time, big in pre-mixed cake mixes, like Kroger and others, Kroger brand and different ones. And there again, you have products that are labeled, not made by that particular company, but by another company. And if they know the product is good, they'll put their label on it, because you wouldn't want to put your name on a product that was not the very best, right? It's only common sense. Okay, and what else? I'm trying to think here. The time right now is 2:51. So what other cities? Are there any cities in Florida that have a title? I was trying to think. What would it be? What, Sarasota? I don't know. Is Sarasota still Ringling Brothers base? Since the circuses seem like they're on their way out, really. Remember, more than once a circus train has come through Marion? Ringling Brothers?
Yes.
Is there, does Miami have a title? Sunshine City, maybe? I don't know. Can you think of any other cities that have titles? If you do, if you had come up with something different, let me know. Okay, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Okay, Denver's the Mile High City.
Oh, yes.
And I think Las Vegas, is that the city that never sleeps or something?
You're right. Yeah, the city that never sleeps, right.
Yeah, a lot of them have names like that when you think of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be thinking the cities all weekend.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, very good, Judy.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay, bye. All right. Yeah. If you can think of any cities that you haven't heard mentioned yet that have titles, what about in Ohio? Oh, here's somebody. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, how about Pittsburgh, the Steel City?
Oh, yes.
And how about Findlay, the Flag City?
Right. Okay.
Marion is noted for all kinds of things.
Yeah, right.
All right, have a good one, Charlie.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, when you think about it, and most of us never think about it, unless things like today. All the different titles that are given to cities, yeah. And I forgot about the Findlay Flag City. Oh, you go up Interstate 75, and you'll see flags all over the place. Then Norwalk, Ohio, is noted for its trucking industry. And I don't know if Norwalk is called a truck city or a trucker city. I don't know. But, what else is there? My, there are a lot of cities with names. When Marion at one time was called Shovel City because of our shovel production. It all started with Henry Barnhart. And I think he made the first shovel. And then it went on. Edward Huber got involved, and George King got involved, and a lot of the guys with money that could invest in industry and production, you know, you had to have money to build a factory and then to buy the materials and then find the men with experience. Can you imagine how difficult it was to go into business? Like, Ed Huber came from Indiana, and he started manufacturing his revolving hay rakes in Marion. And then he got to, thinking about the more mechanical means, like steam tractors. And one thing led to another. Huber Museum is in Marion on the fairgrounds, and they have right now, and in fact, they're going to have a big open house on May the 18th from 1 to 4, showing off the new shovel tread. Now they've got a contract with NASA to have that on display for several years. It's a 1-ton crawler tread, and I'm sure that tread had been on the crawler that carried the rocket that took the men to the moon. And every now and then they have to replace a tread because they was, one of those crawler transporters weighs over 1 million pounds. Can you imagine weighing over 1 million pounds? Oh, boy. So, a lot of things. And you can go out anytime to the Huber Museum, though. You can see that tread right. Even today you could see it. Or tomorrow. But the big open house for that, the dedication, will be May the 18th. And they'll serve some light refreshments between, I think, 1 and 4 o'clock on that day, and you're all invited to come out. Now, the Huber Museum has a membership, too, if you'd like to become a member and help support it, because the Huber Museum emphasizes products made in Marion, starting originally with Huber, and then because Edward Huber was on the board of the Marion Steam Shovel Company. Of course, I think maybe Harding had something to do with it, too. But we had Ed Huber with Huber Manufacturing Company, and then George King with the shovel and some other very rich people. They got it going and ended up hiring thousands of people, people that bought homes or rented homes in Marion, hardworking people, and welders and molders and grinders, you name it. Can you imagine what it was like making one of those big cog wheels that a huge shovel sat on? The cog wheel, of course, is what rotated the shovel. And all the mechanics involved in operating a shovel that was, you know, maybe 75 feet tall and used enough electricity to light a city. And you had to have talented people hired to bring all this about. And that's something else. Do we have today talent coming on? Now, we have a lot of robotics and things like that, and computer talent. Do we have the construction trades talent? Carpenters, bricklayers, blocklayers, plumbers, electricians. We have to have a lot of that. But just think back when we were heavily in the production of shovels, all the talented people they had to hire, all the engineers to draw the plans on paper and then have those plans executed by workers for Marion. Something else. Then you think about Whirlpool. Whirlpool came here in the way back in the 50s, of course, when there was a company located there called Motor Products. And Whirlpool's been going gangbusters ever since. But they, too, have to have very talented people that can keep the production running. Can you imagine what it's like when raw steel slabs, rolls of steel, come into Whirlpool and the sheet steel is unrolled and is stamped and molded into all these appliances? My goodness. It's hard to realize unless you stop and think about it, all the intelligence, all the expertise that is necessary to keep things rolling. And that's why we need training. We need a lot of training. And if a new company was to come to Marion and say, well, you look at Union Tank Car and all the welders they've had to hire. Yes, and companies like that, they have to inquire with the educational people in Marion, like, what type of people can you produce that are needed by my industry? Yeah. Okay. Boy, we've just about come to the end of the program today. So thanks to all you people that got registered here. I got a whole bucket full of names. And we'll be doing this all week long next week. And tomorrow, don't forget, you'll be able to, listen to at 7:15 tomorrow to The Weasel. And it should be an interesting program. I'm anxious to see what all takes place. So, right now we've got 14 seconds left before we open the door and go home. And we're down to about 10 seconds now. Have a nice weekend. Be careful. Drive with your eyes on the road.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For Jim Lavelle, the man handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was assassinated.
So when you're coming out the door with Lee Harvey Oswald handcuffed to you, you're there to protect him. Take me through that walk. What do you see? How did it happen?
All right, well, as I walked through the door, I could see, I've always made it a habit in my career, especially as a detective, if I went into a room where there's more one people around, I did a quick look over of all of them, up and down. So I saw Ruby. He was standing there, and he was holding that pistol in his left hand, pressed against his leg, down just above his knee. Well, he was surrounded by police officers and reporters, but none of them was looking down. They was all looking up head high, and I saw it. And as soon as I saw that, I was already within 4 or 5 steps of him by that time. And when I saw it, then I knew exactly what was going to happen. So I began my defense on it, trying to jerk Oswald behind me. And I was moving him behind me when he took two steps forward, and he put him in arm reach. In my reach, I reached over and grabbed him by the left shoulder and shoved back and down on him. But at the same time, of course, he'd switched that gun in his right hand and fired. And
the legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah. Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
I'm not, you know, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous, as I wrote in the book. I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything, which most parents, you know,